Steve.
Tim.
I'm excited about this one.
This is turning into a soiree.
It's turning into a soiree. Not only have we got five people, not only are they all purpose driven and a team, I'm also not wearing any trousers because I'm icing my hamstring injury. So if I have to get up, it could be a pants shot, which I'm super excited about.
I'm glad you finished that sentence saying you're nursing something else rather than doing something else.
Good. People don't think like that on our podcast.
No, but we're all at an age, aren't we, where we think of Leslie Graham sat in front of his laptop with his trousers down.
Maybe we are. On that note, we should probably hear from our sponsor, shouldn't we, before we get in the conversation. See you on the other side, folks. Just before we get cracking with this episode's guest, I want to shout out Bant.io, the all-in-one B2B lead generation toolkit designed to automate your customer acquisition. Now, we're all busy doing remarkable stuff. That's why software like Bant.io is super important to us, to help us manage our businesses and streamline our activities. So check them out in the show notes. All the links, all the info you'll need is in there. But now, let's get on with this show. Well, we're back for a pretty remarkable episode of the Remarkable Podcast. And today, as we heard in the intro, I'm pretty excited about this one because the people, the collective, the group of humans that we've got on the call today, on the podcast guesting, have built something that I'm a massive kind of advocate and fan of, and something that's pretty special, and it's a good way to spend a couple of hours a month doing. But first, let's find out who they are. So we'll go round in order of my screen, I think. Chris, do you want to start and introduce yourself and who you are?
Yeah, so I'm Chris Blackwell. I'm one of the co-founders of the Purpose Collective. And I also run a consultancy called Purpose Led Performance, which I set up 3 years ago. So I used to run businesses in the corporate world, and I came to the conclusion that I thought the corporate world was fundamentally broken, and that there was a better way for organizations to perform. So I set up Purpose Led Performance, and along that journey met Alberto and Sarah, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about the Purpose Collective adventure that we've had together as well.
Well, indeed. Thanks, Chris. What about you, Sarah? Do you want to go?
Hello, Tim. Thank you very much. Great to be here. I'm Sarah Rosentuler. I'm a business psychologist by background, and I'm often on the corporate pitch, coaching teams, coaching leaders, increasingly about their purpose, their compelling why. And along with Chris and Alberto, I'm really passionate about the Purpose Collective and how this community is growing. So that's me for now.
Awesome. And last but by no means least, Alberto.
Well, hi, everyone. So my name is Alberto, and I'm originally from Spain, as you probably hear in my accent. Not really British, but I'm doing my best. But I'm the founder of a consultancy firm called Just on Purpose. So I help organizations, leaders, and teams uncover their purpose and to do things in a different and a better way. And you know, together with Chris and Sarah, a co-founder of the Purpose Collective. So we will talk about that as well. But yeah, that's what I do.
We will. Thank you very much for introducing yourselves, both. So for those who don't know, right, so for those of our listeners that haven't come across or attended or discovered the Purpose Collective yet, right, who wants to describe what the Purpose Collective is? Which one of you guys want to do it? Sit your hand up and we'll do it. Go on, Seth. Who's that? Who are you pointing to, Sarah? Let's go with Sarah.
I can start, and then I think we've probably all got a similar but perhaps slightly different take on it. So I think the Purpose Collective is a forum, a community where people can come together, people who are interested in purpose and in changing the conversation of business as usual to have a more energizing conversation about what really matters, about making a positive difference in the world. And so there's a real feel-good factor. We give loads of our time and energy for free. People turn up, they carve out, like you, Tim, a precious hour of their week to come and have a conversation. So there's a real buzz about the Purpose Collective. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I'd add to that, it's a global community. So we have people from all over the world. I think in one session we had people on six continents. We couldn't find anybody in Antarctica to attend, but we did have every other continent represented. So we have people who get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and people who join at 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening. And that's a really nice aspect to it. And the other thing to say is it's built about conversation. So we call our sessions conversations about purpose. And so we create a space for, I guess, random collisions to happen between people. So within the sessions, there's probably 20, 25 minutes of chat where people are in small groups, which are randomly allocated, talking through the topic of the day.
I can advocate for that. As I said in the brief intro, in the intro we did for this episode of Steve, I live in the online event space as a speaker, a facilitator, or attending the networking, as we all have for the last couple of years of pandemic craziness. But there's something really special about the Purpose Collective. And I'm not just saying that because you guys are here, right? I've been to a lot of online events, really highly produced things like Nudgestock by Ogilvy, where they've got a TV studio and all sorts of things like that, down to people who are trying to just cram a real life networking event into a Zoom screen with everybody talking at once, and it's horrific. Right? But you guys have made something like super important. The conversation, you've had some amazing guests, right? Amazing gifts, which we'll get into later on, and some amazing insights and learning. But like Chris said there, the conversations are the thing that drive me, the little breakout rooms. And breakout rooms can be, you know, not great in some Zooms. Like, they are not well facilitated, the purpose of them are not great, but you guys have really nailed it. But along with the conversation stuff, like, what do you think's been so successful about the Purpose Collective? Like, loads of people and of organizations have tried digital gatherings and got not anywhere near the number of people or the repeat visitors of people or the regularity or the quality of what you guys have done. So let's start with Alberto. What do you think's made it so successful? What's your secret sauce?
Well, I think the main point and the main reason for our success in bringing people together is that people have kind of a shared purpose, and you know, that's what we do. We are called the Purpose Collective, and each of us do work also individually around purpose. But what we say always in our work is, purpose is something that helps you be successful and be more productive, also for companies and, you know, for teams to be more working together in a better way. And in the end, we started with the purpose. That was the starting point. And we bring people. We don't know who is going to be there, actually. We don't plan that much. We just post the event, and then, you know, anyone can show up. It's a free event. So, but the thing is that I think the common thing is that everyone who shows up cares about, you know, purpose or making a positive impact on others or the world, the planet, on business. And I think that's the key to make that connection between the participants and also with speakers or with us, because that's what they get from us as well. So everyone in the event. And there are some people that are more critical or more skeptical about the power of purpose. But I think everyone believes that purpose can be, something that helps us together to build a better world and a better planet and businesses and organizations.
Yeah, great answer. Have you got anything to add, Sarah, Chris?
I would add a couple of things. I'm thinking about the brilliant guest speakers, including yourself, Tim. And I think the sessions have become known for good content, inspiring content. So whether it's about storytelling, whether it's about becoming a B Corps or a high performing team, and there's always a purpose angle on the content, but we get feedback from people saying, I came away with a couple of real nuggets that I could use with my team, in my leadership. Alberto creates fantastic visuals that we post on LinkedIn. Sometimes he tailor makes them for each participant, like our billboard exercise, what's the message you want to blast out? And Alberto did one for each person. So there's a real generosity of sharing, in large part thanks to our guest speakers, around content. And I think just quickly, the other thing that has helped is that people pick up on the energy, I think, between the three of us.
Yeah.
I think they get that we genuinely get on. And I believe in that principle of like energy attracts like energy. And so on a more subtle level, I think there's something going on in the field that attracts people in. So anyway, might have other angles as well.
I think the energy point is a is a good one, because the three of us have never been in the same room together. So we've been doing this together for a year and a half, but we've never met in person. But we do work as a team, and we enjoy working together, and we try and make it fun and energetic. But also we balance each other out. We kind of all play slightly different roles. And so I think that's been remarkable. But I think the energy in the group and the people that come, kind of relating back to what Alberto said.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. Coming from the participant side, right? It just seems like you three are all like such a good team. It seems seamless. Right, which I'm sure it's not, having run events myself, but it seems seamless, right? But I think you all mentioned a really interesting point then. Like it kind of acts as like a magnet, whether it's the purpose, whether it's the idea of purpose, that acts like a magnet and gets all the people, you know, the 50, 60, 100, even a bit more people to attend one of your events, right? Because they're all kind of gravitating toward this purpose. And I love the breakout groups, and I've spoken to, I can't remember how many people, but it must be a bunch of people. So the breakout rooms for people who haven't been have kind of two or three or four other people in it. And you talk about a prompt or a topic or a question that's set by the guest speaker, right? So we've got a purpose of the breakout rooms, which makes them really good. And then we take it in turns to have a few minutes to share our ideas and thoughts on this thing. But like you guys said, somehow, right, as if by magic, that people from all levels of their purpose journey, from people who do it professionally, like you guys, to people who have maybe read a book or two about it and have just thought about it, or some people who are, you know, I'm speaking to a few people in there that have been a little kind of lost and looking for something, right? Looking for the answer and figure that these people have got it in there. So there's definitely a kind of a magnetic quality to the whole thing that acts as like a beacon. And I definitely feel interconnected with everybody, like across the globe. There's people in Brazil I've had in my group, and Slovenia, and like all sorts, right? And it's been, I think facilitating that has been something really special. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, like how it's magnetized or how it's interconnected with people.
I mean, I'm struck, Tim, by what you said there about some people come who are feeling a bit lost. And Alberto did a session recently more around personal purpose in the context of the Great Resignation, and how many people are thinking about resigning, making career transitions. This very briefly, there's some recent research that's been done saying that to transition out of a corporate role and to curate more of a portfolio career takes about 3 years. It's a messy, complex journey to go on, and people really need support. And one of the main things they can do to help themselves along the way is to network and have conversations. So I like to think that part of the value of the Purpose Collective and the attraction is for people who are feeling a bit lost, who are in transition and want to do some networking that, as Chris was saying, is fun, it's easy, it's free of charge, to help them navigate, you know, what might be quite a tricky chapter of their lives.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because that whole career economy is going to change massively over the next 10 years or so, where most people are employed currently, they will move to being self-employed, like you say, with a portfolio of work. And even if you are employed, because of IR35s, et cetera, you'll be shooting around the place left, right, and center. I think I've found that through the pandemic, for example, that I used to be an extrovert, and I didn't mind standing up and speaking in front of hundreds and thousands of people. You know, I never got to that stage of 100,000 of people. I wasn't Freddie Mercury or anything. But, I didn't mind standing up in front of 100, 200 people and delivering a presentation to them. Then I started to retract probably around 10 years ago and became quite an introvert again. But actually, since everything's moved online, I've been able to become an extrovert in my own comfort of my own home. And people are changing massively. And it's one thing that we're not recognizing. And I think that's why people need purpose now. Whereas they probably didn't need purpose before because they were told what to think. People are now starting to believe, I need to understand what I need to do to go forward. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the uncertainty, and as you said, the lack of structure, not being told what to do, and also just the amount of change and challenge that we've all gone through. I mean, we like you guys and like this podcast, we were born out of the pandemic. I think we launched in June 2020. But yeah, it's just kind of created a lot of questions for people, and it's accelerated also a lot of change. You know, change in working practices have been really accelerated. You know, we've all been stuck at home for months at end and connecting like this through screens. So yeah, so I think it does come into sharper focus.
We have seen a growth in terms of how important purpose is for people or for how many people. And I remember when I started my own business, it was in 2019 in May. And when when I was talking to people, I was telling them, yeah, I'm gonna start on my own, and they were very excited, and they asked me, yeah, but what are you gonna do? And what's the name of the company? And I say, well, Just on Purpose. And I actually remember myself feeling a bit embarrassed in a way, because my background is in sales. So it's all about, you know, targets, numbers, and hitting those quotas and all these things. And I was talking to people, ex-colleagues of mine, friends that I met in my career, all of them working in sales. And yeah, I'm gonna help people to find their purpose, right? To uncover their purpose. And I felt a bit embarrassed at the beginning when I had to share that. even though I totally believe in what I was going to do. But then after a few months, I started seeing more and more things about purpose out there. Like, you know, the Financial Times in October 2019, I remember the front page saying, reset capitalism, we need a more purpose-driven economy. The CEO of Salesforce, Mark Benioff, also talking about these and many others. And then I thought, well, you know, I think, yeah, something is changing here. And in the last, definitely the pandemic kind of boosted this even more. And I think, and what I tell everyone, you don't need purpose to live your life. You can live it without any thoughts about purpose. But it's definitely better if you understand why you do the things you do. No matter as a, if you are an individual, as a person, as a company, it's important to reflect on this periodically and try to have a sense of direction. And that's what purpose does. And I also remember my wife, she's upstairs now, but telling me, you know, this is like a midlife crisis thing. you know, and now I think she believes in what I do as well. And you know, hopefully. But yeah, I think it's much common, you know, before many years ago, it was a kind of midlife crisis. You cover certain basic needs and then you start thinking about, okay, what else can I do with my life? But now I also teach at the University of Applied Sciences here in The Hague, where I live. And, you know, students, you know, 19, 20 years old, first, second year students are, you know, worried about many things we weren't worried about in their at their ages. And they want to work not for any company or the biggest possible. That was my generation. We wanted to be working at the biggest company possible to get the highest salary. But they actually want to work for a company that makes a positive impact on the world. And I think that's all aligned, of course, with a good purpose. So
I think, Alberto, you're absolutely right. I've just been putting together some work on responsible business. So responsible business being doing good for people or planet, right? Which at the heart of that is whether you label it with purpose or not is a purpose, right? You're doing yeah. something else. But I've been looking into the period of adoption, right? So in the, I think it was in the 70s, I've not got the information in front of me, Milton Friedman wrote initially the statement that, you know, the sole responsibility of a business is to make profit. And from then, you know, every kind of decade or so from there, like there was a kind of a revision, getting a little bit more human, a little bit kind of kinder, a little bit more less transactional through it, until I think there was one in 2019 and then 2020, like from the Business Insider Group or the CEO report, like some big papers where people have in the last 3-4 years, right, exponentially become, oh my God, like the most important thing we do is to be responsible. We also sell some stuff that allows us to be responsible. But there's been such a shift, I think, in that kind of mindset. Maybe it's cultural within an organization. I know, Sarah, you're a business psychologist. Maybe you can comment. Has culture changed? And we'll come to you, Chris, afterwards as well, because it'd be interesting to hear that. But has business culture changed across the board, do you think? Or
I think it's changing. It's a big question. as you know,
your answer will be fun.
Culture, I think, really varies from organisation to organisation. And then within the same organisation, you can have multiple microcultures. But I would say that I think, and I know Alberto was talking about the younger generation, I think as the younger generation take up more and more leadership positions in organisations, things are absolutely changing. And I think there's more pressure on organisations, and I could say rightly so, to not just pursue profit maximisation at all costs, including the cost of people's well-being. I think there's more pushback And we see that with things like, you know, the movement towards the 4-day working week, for example. And I think we're going to see the culture increasingly shift towards taking care of employees' well-being, their mental health, because if you've got happy and productive employees, you're much more likely to have happy customers. So it's good for business. I think that's the direction of travel. And then, of course, all sorts of organizations are at different points on the journey to becoming more purpose-driven and changing their culture.
Yeah. Do you think it's related to the age, that like the younger people coming up? Because I've worked with a few universities, a bit like Alberto, and know a few kind of creative communities which are young people, but the people who seem to have a grasp on what their purpose is and how that shows up in the world, right, how they make an impact on that purpose, not would like to do something, are all, you know, I was going to say more senior, but that makes us sound super old, right? But you know, maybe 30 or over. Right. I know, Chris, you do a lot with organisations for your work. Is it definitely an age thing, do you think, or where do you sit on that?
I don't think it's an age thing. I think it's a social, but I do think it's a social change. I think it is like individual people are changing. And I think it's as much people who are sort of my age, 44, you know, the world is different for me at my age now than, say, it was for my dad 30 years ago at my age. So I do think it's about social change, but I think it's been driven by everybody. I think one of the things, though, that is meaning that young people can shape change more probably today than they could 20, 30 years ago or before that is historically in the workplace, young people didn't, you know, it took them a number of years to have the expertise to get into levels of seniority. And with tech and how tech has kind of revolutionized the world of work and the world of business, young people are succeeding, not all young people, but lots of young people are succeeding a much earlier level. And actually, it's not just leveled the playing field. In some instances, it's kind of reversed the playing field, where if you're not a digital native, all of a sudden you can't have the same level of success because you don't understand these things. And so I actually think younger people are getting a bigger voice now because they're, you know, we live our lives digitally and they're digital natives more so than you know, I'm probably just the age that's just outside of being a digital native. And they're coming into the world of business and succeeding at a much earlier age than was previously possible in our sort of corporate systems. So I think that's giving them a bigger voice.
I 100% agree. It's it's classed as decentralization of skills in regards to when 20, 30 years ago, you know, if you weren't that clever, you ended up on a building site. If you were clever, you went into sixth form and then you went on to university. And then if you weren't clever, you'd go and follow whatever your parents did because you could get a job inside that factory for life. Technology has really changed the face of every opportunity. And we can't underestimate the power of where technology's got us in the last 20 years, but we can't underestimate where it's going to be in 20 years' time. Yeah. So I've seen multiple posts on LinkedIn this week from my networks. I'm connected to a lot of people in technology. Who are now holding their meetings through the metaverse, through Oculus, you know, and they've been doing that for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And you sit there and I always saw those little avatar characters and went, I've got an Oculus headset. I can't see me doing that. Yeah. But now I've seen Fluff Digital this morning, we're doing it. I saw that Ben Francis at Gymshark was doing it the other day. So it's starting to gain a little bit of traction. And how that's going to carry young people's voices going forward is going to be really interesting. I think the next five years is really critical, really critical.
It's definitely, what's it called? Expedited or there's a good word that I can't think of now that means that it increases more the further we get into time. What was that?
Exponentially?
That was it.
Exponentially. Well
done, I'm the non-native here, guys, but my contribution is out now.
Yeah. I'm from Nottingham, Alberto. You speak better English than I ever will. I think it like purpose and the meaning, right? The meaning we attach to work and the role it plays in our identity, in our life, and therefore the thing that connects us to our personal purpose or our work purpose, whatever that is definitely changing. Me and Steve have said it throughout this podcast since the beginning, all the way through the pandemic, that it feels like change is in the air. I know we've had a bunch of enforced change, but it feels like it's ripe now. It feels like it's easier. Like you said, Chris, I think when my dad was my age, right, changing something inside a workplace, a system, a process, would have been super difficult, I imagine. But now it feels more of just a decision or a choice or a mindset, maybe.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So as we come towards the final 10 minutes, I knew this would happen. We could go down so many purpose-driven avenues of conversation with five of us that it's important to stay on track with five of us, because you guys have all got super important purpose-driven careers to live, and we don't want to keep.
We don't
want to
impede that.
Yeah, we don't want to impede that. We don't want to be a we want to amplify.
We want to be purpose poopers.
Purpose poopers. Hashtag purpose poopers. If
that's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But I just want to kind of bring it back to the Purpose Collective, to give one more kind of audio big love to this thing that you guys have built by asking another question. Like, what has been your favorite or biggest learning from all of the amazing guests and conversations you've had so far, and why? Shall we let's start with Sarah and I'll drive you around.
Well, I really wish when I was growing up, somebody had given me the careers advice that had said, in Joseph Campbell's words, follow your bliss, but just go after what you're interested in, what's energizing for you, and where there's a sense of ease as well. And I think I've really learned that from working with Chris and Alberto, that actually, if you go after those things where you really enjoy it, it's energizing, there's a sense of ease, then kind of follow the resonance and trust that things will unfold from there. Without you, Alberto talked about sales targets. We have no targets. We're quite focused in our own way. But that's been my big learning, that if you trust the resonance, things will unfold in quite unexpected and magical ways. And then that's really enlivening. And I wish somebody had said that to me in my early 20s. Taken quite a while to get to that point.
It took a while for me too, Sarah, so don't that was really good. What a really useful thing. What about you, Alberto? What's been your biggest takeaway?
Well, I think it's kind of in the same line. We never tried to build a community, so that wasn't the idea. We kind of met. I met first with Chris because we thought, well, we are competitors. This guy in England trying to do the same things as I do, but we connected on LinkedIn through basically we came across each other's content, and then we had a chat, and it was a nice connection, and then we agreed to have so more regular chats, and then I remember, well, I want to go to London because I have some friends there and some network. I'm gonna do a workshop there. And then I shared this with Chris, and then we started to talk about it, and then, well, maybe we can do it together, but maybe we need an extra person, maybe. And I heard about Sarah, and then he reached out to Sarah, and they connected, And this happened all kind of naturally. And when we were about to announce that event, we had the venue, everything in London. And that was our idea. So just one event in London, maybe get some leads to have some projects together. And then we had to cancel because that was in March 2020. But we kept in touch. We had a weekly call and we kept showing up and supporting each other during the first lockdown. And we became closer together and friends. And at some point we said, well, let's do it online instead. And that's how it happened. And now we have built this community without any intentions. And I think to Sarah's point as well, sometimes you do things, when you do things following your purpose, things happen naturally and come back to you in maybe different ways as expected, but everything kind of works out well. And I think that's my learning point, that we never try to build a community. We never have these targets or structure too much, or we just show up, we organize a bit the events, and then things happen because we facilitate this place for people to connect with each other. So that's my biggest learning.
Yeah, I love that, Alberto. It reminds me of a James Clear quote, the author of Atomic Habits, who says, it's the direction that matters, not the destination. Do you know what I mean? Like people letting go of goals and plans and things like that. Like they're going, if you trust in the direction, if you follow your purpose, right, it's always going in the right way. You know, if you know that you're connected to it. So that's really good. And finally, Chris, what's your...
Yeah, so I think that bit, that direction, like it feels like it's a journey and the journey's fun, definitely. The other thing that I think through learning and through experiencing, and I'm going to kind of connect the earlier conversation. So technology has made the world more accessible. And I think the other learning I've had and taken away, Alberto's in The Hague. Sarah's actually not that far away, probably 50 miles up the road, but we've met in person twice. Through the Purpose Collective, actually, we managed to find and connect with a community of people from all over the world and build a relationship with them. And it's the technology that has supported that. And so one of my big learnings is to stop, thinking about just doing stuff in the UK. One of the big lessons of the Purpose Collective is, with the technology now, you can connect with people anywhere in the world. You can do work together anywhere in the world. You can have conversations anywhere in the world. And just to start to think about stuff at a slightly more global level, that's been a big, something I've really enjoyed doing, but also a big takeaway for me.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I've been working in the States, never been to the States. I've never met the people who I work with in the States, none of the clients face to face. And 2 years ago, that would be unheard of, right? You earn the money and you facilitate change and leadership stuff when you're in a room around the board table wearing gray suits and red ties and all that sort of stuff. And now you can pull up in a sweatshirt and your comfy socks in your house, right, and still deliver the work, right? I think that's super important. They're really good learnings, guys, really good learning. So we're coming to the final points. Steve, have you got any final questions and stuff before we get them to wrap up and share?
Probably two bigger questions to ask,
okay,
to be honest, for this time.
That's fair enough.
Because one of the ones that I've been thinking about since through the conversation is, perhaps I shouldn't ask one because it is too big a one, which is all around.
Well, put it out there. We don't have to answer it now.
Do you worry about companies? So purpose is really important, okay? And there's going to be lots of people who try and jump on the purpose bandwagon. People jumping on the purpose bandwagon is going to cause purpose washing. And therefore, are you concerned that purpose may fall away over the next few years because of that? We had a conversation about this a long time ago, Tim, with I can't believe I'm going to say them again, but with Sky and their ocean rescue program, where they were just going, oh, we want to save the world from plastic. It wasn't a thing that Sky wanted to do. They were just doing it because they thought it was the right thing to do. Yeah. And that really infuriated me. And I'm just worried that's going to be a lot of companies out there who might do the same thing.
I think we are worried about it. And we had a whole session on Purpose Wash. With Andy Green, a guy called Andy Green. So it's absolutely something that we see already happening. It is quite zeitgeisty at the moment. And as Alberto was talking about, you know, in 2019, and the risk is things become fashionable and then become unfashionable. So personally, I'm a bit relaxed about if it becomes less fashionable, because I think actually it's, whether it's fashionable or not, I truly believe in it. I believe that, you know, from my perspective, I believe it drives better company performance, because as Sarah said, you know, if people are happy and engaged at work, they'll do better work. But I am worried that it almost tarnishes the name of purpose. So you know, if it goes out of fashion, I'm not worried about it. But actually, if it becomes an actively perceived to be a negative thing, then that's something that worries me a bit. But I think, you know, that might be part of our purpose as the Purpose Collective, is, you know, being some of the people and one small community that shines a spotlight on the people and the organizations that are doing it authentically and doing it well. And we're only a small community at the moment, but I think we will continue to grow. And you know, from our side, that's one thing that we can do is really help people understand when it's genuine and real, and expose them to people and companies that are doing it really well.
That's a great answer. And I think that happens, that has happened to Purpose, and that kind of dilution happens to a lot of things. And it's usually when it wields its way, it works its way down to marketers, and marketers ruin everything. As a reformed marketer, I can only apologize to the Purpose Collective for getting hold of Purpose and now doing purpose-driven Facebook ads and stuff on the people's behalf. And I apologize, but it was a good short answer to a in-depth question. So I shall sign off. I'll get us to sign off with Sarah, actually. To tell them, use a couple of minutes to pitch your book, because you have got a book and you are an author, and we'll put it all in the show notes and stuff like that, because I think that's a great opportunity to do that. But also where they can best connect to you guys and the Purpose Collective and hopefully come along. So take it away, Sarah, the finale.
Thank you very much, Tim. And thank you, Steve, as well. It's been great to be here. Really enjoyed our conversation. And you can find Purpose Collective events on Eventbrite. So the search will land you to the forthcoming events. And we're active on LinkedIn as well. We've got a Purpose Collective community on LinkedIn, where we're regularly posting content and connecting with people. And in terms of me, yes, thank you for the shout out about the book. So Powered by Purpose, Energize Your People to Do Great Work, which you can get on all the main websites, WH Smith, Book Depository and so on. And it's all about how you can live purpose, articulate purpose, and then live and breathe it at an individual, team and organizational level. I wanted to write something that was about scaling purpose in a way that both nodded to the research, but also was really practical, so that busy people could come to the book and just dip in and out and take away some practical things that they could do as an individual or as a team. So I hope the book ticks that box. We shall see.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Well, it's been a remarkable conversation, and a short one, and one that's gone pretty well for five people on the screen. I thought pretty well edited, not too much work for our fabulous editor Charlie to do. So these guys, Chris, Alberto and Sarah, are all super active on LinkedIn. I will put their LinkedIn things in the show notes, so please connect with them. I'll put the Purpose Connective group on there and the website and the Eventbrite links to everything that we've said today. But ladies and gentlemen, please show your appreciation in form of some social media love for these guys, because they have built something really epic over the last couple of years, and I will always be an attendee and a disciple of the Church of Purpose Collective. So thank you very much, Chris, Alberto, Sarah, for coming on this morning and sharing your valuable time with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for having us. It was great, a great conversation.
Yeah. I hope to see you soon.
You will do.
Yeah.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank Cheers. You.